Hi, everyone. This is Michael McElhenney, and I am joined by Allison Conte, Willow Dea, and Sandra Hill. They're going to be exploring for us the topic of the gifts and challenges of the feminine in integral leadership. So let me say a little bit about our three panelists. Allison Conte, she functions as a coach, change agent, community builder, facilitator, and currently she's really excited about the Authentic World organization. And in Boulder this coming week, she'll be doing Alicia. It's an integral relating intensive. Willow Dea, she's the editor of Igniting Brilliance, a book on integral education for the 21st century. And she'll be in the Netherlands for the Cultivating Leadership for Sustainability. And Sandra Hill, she's a leadership development and organizational effectiveness consultant. She's currently doing a large systems leadership development project that's helping folks explore and expand their worldviews, their thinking, and their reality. She's quite energized by this commitment that she has for catalyzing equality and equal opportunity. So, ladies, thank you. Thank you for being on the phone with us today and for helping us explore this topic of the feminine in integral leadership.
Thank you, Michael.
So, yeah, thank you for doing this, Michael.
Oh, no problem at all. So, what are your interests? What are you excited about right now?
Well, I can say that I'm real excited about this dialogue and as it's evolved, because as everybody can imagine, we've had some conversations, and it's just so essential that we dialogue about this kind of thing, that we open these topics up not only for conversation but for support.
This is Allison, and I'm, like Sandra, I'm really excited to be having this conversation. I think the most exciting thing for me is that all of a sudden I don't feel alone in this conversation or in this experience, and I have had in the past had a feeling of, am I the only one who's thinking this way or having these experiences or bumping up against these challenges? So I'm really excited to just open up the conversation and have these amazing women to talk about it with.
Wow. I'm really excited, you guys, about the pleasure and power of being in the feminine in the workplace and, frankly, anywhere in the world, and being not only integrated but able to really bring forth the feminine. And I think there's a lot of juice here, and there's a lot of there are several areas that we bumped into in our earlier exploration that I think carry quite a bit of energy because they have yet to be embodied on a regular basis, even in the integral community. So I think we're all real excited and ready to go there. So thanks for hosting us, Michael.
Oh, not a problem. Well, Willow, Allison, Sandra, this topic and your title of it, the gifts and the challenges, it's very inviting. I really, really want to hear a great deal more about both of those things, the gifts and the challenges. How do you frame that for yourselves?
Well, you know, the gifts of the feminine are all over the place and so evident to see. You know, I mean, most obviously there's radiance and light and beauty, but also a lot of the qualities that are so needed these days in leadership are really associated with feminine ways of being and feminine energy. And, you know, those would include creativity, intuition, ability to reflect deeply, relationship. All those things are the gifts of the feminine, and there are a lot more.
I would say one of the best gifts I think that the feminine brings is this incredible bullshit meter. We are so highly calibrated to resonate with the truth, and I think part of the power of the feminine is to discern really quickly what's true and what's not, and from where that's coming. And I also think we carry a wider sphere of care as a baseline, you know, depending on the level of development of the woman herself. But in general, there's a wider sphere of awareness about others. It's not just me, it's me and all of us. There's as well, I think, an attention to the whole and the power of a certain destructive ferocity that can be in service of that which we love and care for. I think that's just a few of the touch points that we can kind of peer into a little bit in this conversation.
Go ahead, Willow.
I was just going to tag onto something Willow said about the ability to discern truth. And there's something there's a masculine way of doing that also. So the feminine way of discerning truth is different from masculine. It comes from an embodied wisdom. Sometimes the truth shows up in the body or shows up in intuitive sense or some sort of subtle energy that we're picking up on. And those are ways of understanding truth that are uniquely feminine.
Mm-hmm. And what I was going to add to this is also there's an incredible connection that is just natural from the feminine. It emanates from and it is the feminine, its connection. So I think that's true in truth, and that's true just in general. It's always struck me how easy it is when one is embodying, when I'm embodying my feminine and I meet someone else who is, how that connection is just there, and it flowers what's taking place.
Wow, ladies, when I think about the current discourse, and if you just look at what's happening in the U.S. political process right now, going on right at the moment, wow, what an important missing piece that the feminine could fill, could provide. You know, certainly when I hear Willow say the bullshit meter, but to be done in such a way that, you know, it's not the typical, you know, shout you down kind of bullshit meter. It's the, you know, attend to it with a degree of compassion coming through the eyes, just saying, stop. There's no reason for this anymore. Wow, what a gift that would be to the world for even the women that are currently in Congress to feel as if they have the freedom and the capacity to bring their own feminine to this discourse and to say, bullshit. At a point when our country needs it so much. Wow, you're right. That's a huge gift.
And part of the tragedy is that gift that you're describing that we would all agree is incredible is oftentimes shut down by the systems that we're all part of.
Mm-hmm.
There's a repression of that. There's a recognition that can be seen as inappropriate. And so people can shut down that gift. Systems shut down that gift.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, too, that while that meter is present in most women, it takes a pretty high level of emotional intelligence and interpersonal development to deliver those messages in such a way that are effective and meaningful and useful. So it's also true that we're really good at being bitchy. You know, I mean, that's the obvious dark side of where the feminine can come from. But I think in a well-developed and integrated feminine, mature woman, there's a nobility to the level of communication that can convey with total clarity and a neutral tone that something's unacceptable or that it's not working. And I think while it's rare, it's important to aspire and strive and practice that. And that's part of what we can look forward to.
And I see that more naturally happening when there's support for that, you know, rather than the individual woman. I mean, obviously I agree with you that that's something that's for us to aspire to develop as individual women, but I see it when there's support for that naturally happens, or more naturally happens. I think it's the isolation that brings out those negative qualities or the repression.
I think that's such an important point, Sandra. You talk about the challenges of isolation. because there are fewer women in the halls of power, they're more likely to feel isolated. And that is a horrible tragedy, that even if a woman has the strength and the capacity, the isolation may lead her to hesitate.
Well, and you know what, Michael, I see this also in men that have embraced both their masculine and feminine, and I see them be totally ignored when they're expressing the feminine. It's embarrassing sometimes, and it just breaks my heart. So it's for both. It's the feminine is not embraced, and oftentimes ignored as if it's not being expressed, if not rejected.
Yeah, I can totally relate. Whenever I have done that, I certainly have a very, very visceral sense of being ignored.
Mm-hmm. And there's back to what you were saying earlier about the isolation, being alone, that's something I've definitely experienced as a woman who's really expressing and wanting to even more fully express the integrated nature of masculine and feminine, and to bring forward the gifts of the feminine. There's really nothing quite like it in terms of isolating oneself. I've had many experiences as a leader and as a consultant and as a coach in the workplace where it was very clear that my feminine ways of being were unwanted or made people uncomfortable or otherwise just, isolating. And so I started out the call saying I was so glad to have these women to talk to about this. And you, Michael, you and I have been in conversation about this topic for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something very exciting about opening up a conversation and inviting more people with integral consciousness to really look at this so that we don't have to be so isolated.
Yeah, thinking about some of the experiences we've had, Allison, I've always felt compelled to come around behind the isolation that you may have felt or the finger pointing that you may have been on the receiving end of, and asking these people, be they men or women, looking them in the eye saying, was that really about her? Was that about you?
Mm-hmm.
And the more thoughtful of them, immediately kind of pop up and say, wow, you're right. There was something about me in there. And I made that all about somebody else, and that was wrong. Mm.
Yeah, there's a vulnerability there, isn't there, in saying I'm uncomfortable here rather than making somebody wrong, and that's generally what we do. And then there's almost no way to respond with dignity unless you just are sure of the benefits. But having support makes that much easier of the feminine or of anything not accepted by the norm or make others get uncomfortable in the presence of. But it's not because what's being expressed is the problem. It's the discomfort of fear.
I have kind of a funny story about that. I'll share really quickly. I had a colleague a couple of years ago and a client, and it became clear there was some, feeling of uncomfortable in the client system around my feminine energy. And so my colleague tried to consult with me about my clothing, thought it was clothing. And so I went on several shopping sprees, and I came back, and I very earnestly, tried on new outfits, and he said yes or no. And the whole time I felt miserable, absolutely miserable about it, because I felt like I was having to, what's a good metaphor for that? Just sort of make myself smaller or put myself in some sort of a box that didn't fit. And yet I was willing to do it because I wanted to do my part to not be a distraction so that we could actually focus on the work. But I can tell you that it was very painful, and it got to the point where he said to me at one point, I was completely dressed, in a non-feminine way. And he said to me, oh, I give up. It's not the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the clothes. There's something about feminine radiance and feminine energy, even especially if there's any sexual power in there mixed in. There's something about that that feels really good to bring as a feminine being, and it feels painful to try to rein that in. But it's edgy stuff. It's not. It's really not well accepted in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I want to make a distinction here that by bringing your full sexual power and radiance, that you were clear in those moments that there was not any sexual leakage either.
So, right.
I mean, yeah, just to put it on the table, because there is a difference, and I think you went back and checked that was not the case, and that
right. What
remained is still the power of just being an embodied, beautiful woman. And I think many of us have suffered internally or at the hands of or words of others in the workplace and other domains, sort of being made separate, wrong, or less than for showing up fully. And I think what I want to invite us as an integral community to undertake is a really lived inquiry into what does it look like, what does it feel like, and what are the implications when we bring our radiance to work and heal the men around us with our beauty. Why can't that work? Isn't it the way?
Yeah, and the healing is so much more expansive than that too. It's healing with beauty and radiance, and also with heart and with relationship. There's a lot of healing that the feminine can bring to a world of leaders and people in the workplace who have been living inside of a very limited, sort of overly masculine way of being.
As well, how can we invite our sisters in the workplace to overcome their own awkwardness and discomfort and fear and shame about their sexuality and also show up in their full feminine? And as I've danced with that over the years in various contexts, I notice that when I'm in a comfortable place in my sensuality at work, I give permission to those around me to relax too. And occasionally I still get held at arm's length or scolded or distanced from. And you know what? In retrospect, I still welcome that because it's movement. And I would prefer to make people uncomfortable and have to look at themselves than not to show up fully and unapologetically. It's just not interesting to me to repress.
And you can't selectively repress.
No way.
I think that's...
Well, I've tried.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I have too. It's not effective.
No,
I tried because really, honestly and earnestly, in service of wanting to serve and not wanting to get in the way, and really not wanting to make it about me, you know, and I've tried that, and it's still painful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Michael, you might understand that part of where this conversation started from was really about being a woman and being a sensual and embodied and radiant woman in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And from there, our conversation evolved to what are the gifts of that in the workplace and what are the challenges? And so while we're framing it as the gifts and the challenges of the feminine in the workplace, the fulcrum here really lies in the sexuality, in the whole.
That's clear.
In our beings. Yeah. And I think that's what we want to invite people to participate in as we move forward.
Yeah, and I want to invite the three of you in this conversation to help me understand a little further how the perspectives of integral, particularly integral leadership, how does that perspective inform your understanding of both the gifts and the challenges of the feminine?
I could speak to that. I think the most obvious answer to that right off the bat is to make sure we're asking the missing questions. So making sure we're checking all the boxes, so to speak, the four famous lenses. Thank you, Ken Wilber. you know, to make sure that we're concluding our subjective experiences, the meaning-making that we, the storytelling and the value-sharing that we have around that, the systems that implicate and influence our behavior and the actual behaviors, that the practices that we can take forward. So, I mean, I think we started in meandering in our exploration together and quickly realized we needed to have something to offer you. The other way we can slice that is through the I, the we, and the systems perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just the simple answers to your question.
Right. Yeah, certainly. You know, I think that a lot of folks would want to put the impetus on the individuals for fuller integration of the feminine with leadership in general. And what I'm hearing you invite us all to explore are the collective dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly as someone who's been in and around the feminist community for a long time, in that community I've certainly have had quiet and sometimes even desperate requests to say, hey, men, support us in this, where sometimes the men would get it and sometimes they do not.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm hearing is it requires both.
Mm-hmm.
It requires the individual and the collective to stand up together.
Yep.
Is that what I'm
hearing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sandra, do you want to speak to that?
Well, what's happening there is the collective is what's driving the behavior, and we often think that we point to the individual and assume if the individual changes. I had an experience where I was asked to build a huge organization development program for a large corporation, and I thought to myself, how can I go into a corporation? But I was also committed to having funds to serve women, to serve people of color, all of this at the time, and so I decided to do that, but I absolutely refused to walk in looking like a penguin because I felt like what that meant, it wasn't just that I was going to repress something. What that meant was I was closing down a part of me, and then I was given the opportunity to hire all kinds of other people, and I hired a lot of women, and we supported each other. I'm not implying that clothing makes this whole thing, but we made a decision, but we had support from one another, and then we influenced the system that was just as fearful as any other system of something that's different. This happened to be mostly males, but we went in because we could support one another with this idea that this was, we gave each other permission, and then it became more acceptable. There were certainly dialogues, there were certainly some tension, but we set it up so we could do that because there was enough support. So I think it's just such a mistake to look at an individual person and say, okay, it's because they're not enlightened, because they haven't been able to step into the wholeness of themselves, when systems drive most of what takes place and systems are driving show up part way. We have to own that. And then we have to have open dialogue because there's so much fear driving all of this and keeping systems closed.
Wow. Wow, this has really been amazing, this conversation here. And the story I'm making up is that we're just scratching the surface. So, you know,
that's
here we are.
That's what we thought. After we've talked about it three times already on the phone, and we felt like we were just scratching the surface.
Wow.
And I wanted to add one more thing, Michael. One of the things that really struck me in listening to Willow and to Allison talk was how important it is for us to take on the topic of sexuality and normalize that as part of our wholeness, because that is not what we do, and we don't talk about it. Yeah, we talk about it in ways that we act like we're free and open to talk about it, but we're talking about sexuality here as part of being whole beings and not, as Willow says, to exploit it or to use it, but it's just part of our wholeness. And I was talking about how Europeans just laugh at us as Americans about how repressed we are, and an experience I had because I now live in Canada, and not that I necessarily need to see a whole lot of overt sexuality, but there's so much more openness. People are more full expressions that include sexuality, and I see what a contrast it is when this is another systemic kind of thing that goes on in the U.S. is that we are pretty repressed about sexuality in general. So.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. Well, if I can invite you, the three of you, to look forward to this online collaborative, and you think about it from the perspective of a conference attendee, what are you hoping that these attendees either experience or get out of this particular panel that you're going to do?
Well, I am hoping, and of course I have no idea what's going to be there because I haven't been really a part of the planning, but I'm hoping that the feminine will find ways to show up and that people will experience her as, you know, mystery, as vitality, sort of the, you know, feeling the currents of the life force running through the sessions. You know, the people will be in the sessions and have full-bodied experiences and not just petty cognitive experiences. And that there will be beauty expressed and received ongoingly through the conference. So those are the ways that I think that the feminine could show up and really add value.
Yeah, I would add to that. I would love to hear back from women about their experiences as being sensually embodied, sexually embodied in the workplace and in their lives, and how that's played out for them, how it's not, what they're up against, what's going well about that. I'd love to open up a larger conversation and carry that out in some blog format or even in the conference if it's possible.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Good idea.
I'm hoping that our dialogue is a real invitation for others to join us.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. You know, the format of the collaborative allows people to do a great deal of writing wherever their energy grabs them. So, you know, we are very much looking forward to seeing people's, you know, responses to these keynotes, to the panels, to the roundtable. Certainly, we are bringing the full technological capabilities that we know of to make sure that this is a conference where not only are our experts speaking and interacting with one another, but the entire community gets to influence and react to one another. It's going to be a really, really vibrant space for really incredible dialogue.
Great.
Thanks.
So, Willow, Sandra, Allison, thank you so much. This has been an enlivening experience for me. Allison, speaking to that embodiment, I am completely charged for the panel.
Me too. I'm lit up.
All right.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.